Hi, everybody. You're tuned in to the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash, and I'm Joanne Flash Fleming. The show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. We're on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5 p.m., and you can, if you can't listen live, you can always go to the website and listen archives or download a free podcast from iTunes. Today, our show is sponsored by White Oak Pastures. This is cattle raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all of their lives. White Oak Pastures, all-natural, grass-fed beef has been available in all of the Whole Foods stores in the Mid-Atlantic states. We hope that you will support their program through your purchase of our beef through one of these Whole Foods stores. For more information, go on to www.whiteoakpastures.com. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Here's Andrew, my co-host.
How are you doing today?
Good. Invincible Andrew Newman, my son.
Is that
son.
A Freudian slip there?
Nah. So,
I didn't hear the catchphrase today.
What catchphrase?
Making money.
I did say it.
I missed it. I must have missed that part.
Yeah, he was invisible at that time. So I want to let you know that you can call in during the show. You will take calls live. The phone number is, what is it, Andrew?
718-497-2128.
Or you can email any questions or comments, and we will read them on air. It's info@heritageradionetwork.com. Okay? So today, we're going to get started. We have a show. The name of the show, the title of the show, this is a good show. Use your kids to get money from the government. Andrew, they can't hear your head shaking.
I'm interested. I'm flabbergasted right now. I can't even speak.
Right. Well, that's a good one. Who would ever think that you get money from the government for having kids or just having your kids? So everybody knows it costs a lot of money to have kids, to raise kids, and everybody complains about that. But
what about the joy of the child?
Yeah, well, that too. But let's talk about, this is a money show, Drew. So it's nice to have a kid. You know, we'll go into the medical expenses when you have a kid too. But the thing is, you know, I'm here to tell you that there are some financial gains to having kids.
To offset the actual expenditures.
Well, I don't know how much it's going to offset. Of course, that depends. But you can actually make money on your kids.
Make money.
Well, let's go through it. I'll show you how it goes.
Or you mean just get a little tax break at the end?
Well, you're talking taxes. It could be taxes.
Oh, there's more ways. How do you make money off a child?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay?
Legally. We're talking legally.
Only legal. Okay. This is a legally conforming show. I'm not going to give you advice to be illegal and get you all jailed up. Okay? So the first obvious one is you have a child and you can write off a dependent on your tax return, which is about $3,600 of a write-off, which if you live in New York City, you pay about 30 to 40% tax, you could save about $1,000 in taxes.
Not bad.
You have a dependent. So you have a kid, everybody gets that. And as long as you support the kid, you get to write off that kid. And most times you get to support that kid for 20 plus years, right? That's number one.
I was only 18 for me.
No, it wasn't. I wish. So then there's the child tax credit. Okay? For every child, you get $1,000 up to the age of 16. Now, you know the difference between a deduction and a credit, but maybe they don't know the difference.
Why don't you explain that for us?
Why don't you tell us? He doesn't know. So a credit is money right back from the government, just money back. So if your taxes were $4,000, they're going to put $1,000 against it if you had one kid. So your tax is going to be $3,000. Or if you would do a refund of $2,500 and you have two kids, you get $2,000. You get $4,500 refund. A tax credit's a beautiful thing. Tax credit is just money back from the government. So if you have four kids, you get $4,000.
Is that ever limited?
Well, yeah, income limitations. But I'm talking about the average person who gets to get all this, get all these tax credits and tax deductions and write-offs, okay? Credits are a beautiful thing. They equal additional refunds.
Awesome.
Great. So then the next one is child care credit. You send the kid to camp or after school or babysitter.
So you're getting a deduction for paying.
Yes. You pay.
So this is where the expenses start accumulating, you're saying?
Well, this is one where you got to pay to get money back. So you could get 20% of your child care expenses.
What are child care expenses?
Up to $3,000 for each kid.
What are child care expenses?
Well, you go, like I said, latchkey, after school, summer camp.
So not tuition to a private school or a Catholic school?
No.
It's just after school or...
Right. For a child that...
Babysitting services,
correct,
kind of stuff like that.
That you have to go to work. You have to work in order to get this. If you don't have a job, you can't get this. You can't just send your kid to a daycare center and sit home and eat bonbons and get the credit. You got to have work. You got to make money. So you get $3,000 tuition. 20% of it is going to be a credit.
Credit.
So if you spend $3,000, you get $1,200 back from the government.
Not bad.
Right. If you have two kids, $6,000, you do the math, true. Six times 20.
I'm too slow.
Okay.
Off day.
Okay. So you got to get the credit. The credits are a beautiful
thing.
So
you got the credit. You get $1,000 per kid. You got the credit for the child care.
And you got a dependent right away.
You're racking up money here left
and
right.
You're really racking up money.
That's it. You know, who has to pay taxes now?
Right. It pays to have kids almost.
There you go, apparently.
Right. But there's another thing. If you don't want to, if your job offers what they call dependent care benefits, that is pre-tax dollars being allocated. You set it aside to pay for your child care expenses. And that's also a nice thing. So if you make $50,000 a year and you could put away $3,000 against, you could put away up to, I think it's $5,000 per kid. You put away $5,000, you're only going to pay tax on $45,000 instead of the $50,000. So you have to decide whether the child care credit is a better way to go or dependent care.
Well, wouldn't that be better benefits? If you get up to $5,000 compared to $3,000?
Generally speaking, the dependent care benefits is a better program than the child care credit. But not all employers offer the dependent care program.
I was
going to
say, do they offer that? And is that pre-Social Security Medicare? Is that
No. Just pre-income tax.
Just income tax?
Yeah. So that's a nice little perk if you have that. The less obvious things you get for having kids is the invaluable earned income credit. This is money from the government for the working poor. And
what is working
poor?
Well,
I'm going to define that. Oh, okay. If you have up to three kids, which a lot of people in America have three kids, the working poor is considered married, two people have three kids, if they make $48,000 or less.
Combined.
They're going to get money back from the government. If you make less than that, if you're a single parent, there's money to be made. If you're $43,000, if you're a single parent, that puts a lot of people in a very good position to get this credit, which a credit, again, is just added money. This is just money from the government because you're struggling. Somebody makes $25,000 and has three kids could probably get $5,000 back from the government.
So the government is paying you to have children?
Well, the government's subsidizing the fact that you're not making that much money.
Okay.
Yeah. So
they pretty much want you to have children.
Well, we need to keep procreating.
Let's not get into a political conversation. Let's move this along.
You have kids, you work, they're going to give you a couple of breaks there, okay?
Okay, that's nice.
Of course, a bazillion people say, how can anybody who has three kids live on $45,000?
That's what I was going to say.
Well, there are people that are doing it.
So,
and
question.
They love their tax refund checks.
So, question.
Obviously.
So, why would a single parent be $43,000, but a married couple only gets an extra $5,000?
No, that's the way it
That seems a little weird. Oh, the Flash, let me jump in here with the phone number again. It's 718-497-2128 in case you had any questions.
Okay, well, good. Thanks, Andrew. So, let's now, and let's move on to, as the kid gets a little older, there are college tuition credits.
Okay.
So you could take up to $4,000 credit or $10,000 deduction. Something like that.
What's it?
Huh? You know credits and deductions.
Yeah,
that's
no,
you
I
have
understand.
To weigh the difference. It
okay.
depends which way works better for you.
Okay.
But up to $4,000 of tuition write-off.
So after they're in college, you lose the child care.
Well, obviously, you don't have
credit.
Child care expenses.
No, not the
they're
child
not
care. The other one, you said
anymore.
Up until you're 16, you get $1,000 per kid,
yeah,
you said.
Right. That's
so once they're over that 16, so in between 16 and 18, you may not get any benefit
correct.
From your kid?
Correct.
So at that point, kick them out the house and bring them back at 18.
They just give you a lot of agita.
Okay.
There is where the medical expenses come in. You go to therapy, you pay for their braces, you fix their broken bones. You don't have good insurance. You got medical deductions.
It's good write-off.
How many kids have to get braces and they got to write that off? You got to write that off.
I had them. They didn't
or
work
therapy.
Out.
Yeah, or therapy.
I needed that too.
Yeah. Teenagers cause a lot of therapy bills to go to every family.
Teenagers? I would say the parents.
Yeah. Okay. Well. So we got college tuition credits. So they're coming along. You also, if you take loans out for the kid to go to college, you get the student loan interest write-off.
Well,
so
that's the parents.
the parents. If they get a student loan out or a parent loan, it's called parent loan, because you're putting your kid through college, you get to write off the student loan interest.
Do you recommend that? The parent taking the loan out instead
of the
student?
Well, if you don't have the money to send the kid, then I do recommend that.
But isn't it more beneficial for the child to have that
later? Yeah, but sometimes the kid can't get as much as you need, and the parent needs to supplement the rest of the loans. Frankly, I think that you should send your kid to a college that you can afford, and you should save some money along the way, which leads me to the next thing, 529 plans. Remember those, Drew? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal is you put away money in a college fund for the kid, and you get a write-off on New York State. You could put away up to $10,000 for a married couple, and you get a $1,000 write-off on New York State. It's a beautiful thing.
That's great.
So you see, how much money did we save now with having kids?
I didn't keep my calculator.
Okay, well, we're going to calculate it later.
Okay.
Then there's always the nanny. The nanny, if you hire a nanny to watch your kid, the nanny wages can be deducted just as child care expenses.
Oh, this is different than the child care.
Correct. That's sending them to nursery school or day camp or something. Your nanny can also be deductible as long as you pay a Social Security tax.
Okay.
So Social Security tax is deductible. The nanny's wages are your child care expenses. So here is a good one. This is a good one. If you have your own business, you can hire your kids from age 7 to 17, and you can hire them. And you can pay them up to $5,700, and they don't pay any tax.
Wait, what are you hiring?
You heard that? Yeah, now he now
where
he
was
heard
this?
Me. Yeah, now he's going to tell me why didn't I do this?
Now I'm listening.
So now we're listening. So now you have a business. You can hire your kids to do work. They have to do work between the ages of 7 and 17. They can earn up to $5,700 without paying any tax, and you don't have to pay any Social Security or Medicare tax on them until the age of 18.
I have my hand up for a question. What kind of work is this you're putting your child into?
Well, you know, if you have suppose you have a factory and you need to sweep the floors every night, or suppose you have boxes that need to be stuffed at the end of a day. There's a lot of things. And a 17-year-old kid can do a lot of things.
You said seven to 17. Aren't there child labor laws?
You can hire your children.
Can we have a lawyer call up right now? And
their law allows you to hire your children. They have to actually do work. You have to keep timesheets and pay them and record it and report it, okay? So there is $5,700. Now, you don't pay Social Security tax up to the age of 18. You don't pay federal unemployment insurance until the age of 21. And the best thing about this is unbelievable. If the kid makes $5,000, you can put an IRA away for the kid. So when he retires, that money, that $5,000 will grow to a lot of money if you start putting it away at the age of 10 and he retires at 70. Imagine what that could be. Amazing. Did you have any idea that existed?
No.
And that's
no,
totally
I wish
legal.
I wish I had known this when I was working for you at 12 and 13. And I was definitely not making $5,700 a year.
No, you weren't.
And I don't have any IRAs.
Well, you didn't make enough. You wouldn't even really like to work. You want to go play football. So the things that are not deductible, Little League, piano lessons, tutors, private tuition from kindergarten to 12th grade, forget those, okay? So that's how it works when you have a kid and you want to make some money off your kid. So the government gives you a good amount of money.
So you make some money off your kid by hiring them.
Yeah.
So you get a write-off for hiring your kid.
And your business, that's
and your
correct.
Business.
That's right. You get a write-off from your business for your kid, and the kid makes $5,000 or more, and he puts away an IRA. You don't have to pay Social Security tax, Medicare tax, federal unemployment tax as the employer.
I'm surprised I came out so well-adjusted.
It's amazing.
With a parent like you.
It's amazing.
Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So we're going to... going to read the number one more time. I hope to hear from some of you your listeners out there. Call in and comment or question anything you want regarding your kids making money from the government.
That phone number is 718-497-2128.
Okay, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
Tell you the truth, sir. Someone just bought it. Say, Mr. Whistler, here come the gigabytes. Roulette and blackjack, builders of paradise. Larger than life and twice as ugly. If we have to live there, you'll have to trust me. Maybe these luxury scams only compensate. You would get
Okay, we're back. HeritageRadioNetwork.com. This is Flash Talks Cash, and we are up for some email questions that came in during the week. Andrew.
Actually, the first question was posted as a comment on one of our shows. I think it was week two. Is TurboTax really the way to go for a freelancer, or should I pony up and pay somebody? Please be objective.
Well, Andrew, you're a freelancer.
I've used TurboTax and I've used more complex softwares, and I find TurboTax, it's a question kind of thing. It's not like putting numbers in
it's
and
an
saying
interview
it is. It's a little different for me.
Well, let me suggest something to that guy. Rather than question about TurboTax, I think freelancers would be well served to do QuickBooks first and get their bookkeeping in order. Mm-hmm. That is key. If you have good numbers to record your business income and expenses, and freelancers can go the whole gamut. They could be ones who are very good about them and they're very anal about everything, and then they go all the way to the other end where they don't have a clue what their expenses and income is. So if you get a QuickBooks program, learn to use it. It's a simple program to use. You can compile your information. Once you have that, you may be a good candidate to use TurboTax, but I find that most freelancers are too conservative that do their own taxes.
Some of them get pretty creative as well.
I find that most people are conservative.
But they're conservative. They don't know about certain things that they
home office
take deductions for.
Yes.
You know, I talk to people all the time.
Right.
And they're like, oh, can I write this off? I'm like, yes, of course.
Right. How to deal with their automobile, how to deal with their travel
expenses.
So my opinion is get yourself QuickBooks. If you're really, really diligent about your expenses and you want to go to the TurboTax route and you answer the questions correctly, I can't say if you're answering them right or not. I have had people come in and say, please review my return. Sometimes people do a really good job. The vast majority of people don't do a good job. So I think it's just a business expense annually to pay an accountant a few hundred dollars a year and get it done. And this way, you know, if there's a problem, the accountant can always help you down the road.
I was going to say, QuickBooks is good, but at that point, the expenditure for QuickBooks is usually a couple hundred dollars.
Yes.
So even just keeping very diligent records, keeping your expenses in order, the TurboTax isn't the worst, but I feel like you do kind of miss things that the professional may help you with. But if you're really small and you don't have that great expense or detail in your freelancing work and stuff like that, then TurboTax is not a bad option.
Well, TurboTax is the tax program and QuickBooks is the bookkeeping program. So
I'm just saying you have to buy two things then.
That's right.
It's going to be the outlay is going to be as much as going to an accountant.
Well, but the TurboTax is an annual cost. You have to buy that every year, and the QuickBooks you have to buy that once. So it's a one-time investment. TurboTax is an annual. You have to buy the software every year. So, you know, it depends on you. I really strongly recommend keeping good records through QuickBooks, or if you're really good, you can do it through spreadsheets, but I think QuickBooks is the better way.
So the most important thing in there is keeping good records.
Absolutely.
Keeping, getting good numbers, and then the tax return usually falls into place at that
point.
Yes,
capture the information correctly.
All right. You ready for the next question?
Sure.
Oh, also, let me just throw the number out there again. The phone number is 718-497-2128. If you have any questions that we can answer right now for you, that'd be great. Next question is, my inheritance should be in my hands next week. It's only $80,000. Wow. Trying to decide if we should pay off the car, about $10,000, paying, I think, $40 a month interest. Then I was going to look for a condo in Florida where we would stash the money until we do something with it. Am I asking for free advice? And then there's a personal note at the bottom that we won't comment on.
She's got her checkbook ready to pay the flash. Okay, so she's going to inherit $80,000. She's got a $10,000 car loan, and she wants to go buy a condo in Florida. I don't think that she should pay off the car loan. I think she should utilize her cash in her condo purchase. $80,000 is a nice piece of change. Florida condos aren't that expensive. You want to be able to put down a down payment. You want to be able to pay your closing costs and perhaps furnish it or renovate it a little bit. So I don't think that you should use up all your cash on the car. I think you should use part of your money for the down payment and the closing costs. Leave a little nest egg for yourself and put your money. There's no place to put money and make money. The interest rates are pathetic. The stock market is falling as we speak. I have no secret. Don't go to Madoff. He's a bum. So
he's in jail.
Hold on. Well, you know, those Madoff. There's a lot of Ponzi schemes out there. Be careful. So
what about if the car loan is a higher interest rate?
Well, look, she said $40 a month doesn't sound like a lot of interest. I really don't think you should utilize all your cash to pay off a car loan. You know, leave it in the bank and use your money for the condo.
So those debts that are longer term, like student loans, car loans with lower interest, you don't recommend paying them down?
Depends on your cash position. They want to buy a condo. Don't use your cash to pay off the car.
But that's like credit card debt, you would recommend?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
That was just a quick question there.
Okay.
I think that's all we have in questions today.
So, no, that's okay. So now we're going to head on to the creative accountant segment.
All right, here we go with the topic from last week. We had a medium-sized wild animal, a television is broadcasting actual memories, and a fainter.
Okay.
And we actually had an interesting story.
We got a story from Mr. Milk out of Brooklyn. I'm going to read the story, and you tell me what you think, Andrew. It says, Flash, help. Television is broadcasting actual memories. TV content pours from the subconscious of its creators, writers, producers, directors, and into our homes, where we absorb it, internalize it, and add it to our memory banks. While a medium-sized wild animal, a dog or a cat, will often pay no heed to that glowing box in the living room, most humans cannot take their eyes off of a lit TV. So engaged are they by the tangible collective unconscious of humanity, television. It was only a matter of time then before the consumers became producers themselves, and that's where we are in this modern age, in the middle of the internet video renaissance. But while ad spots make actual TV free to watch, content creators' willingness to work for free make sites like YouTube thrive and prosper. Are we, the video makers, doomed to a fainter future than our TV predecessors, or can you and Andrew imagine a way for us to make a buck off of our stuff? Off our stuff.
He said stuff.
So, Mr. Milk, you pose a very, very interesting...
That's kind of daunting.
...financial conundrum, right?
That's... I don't know what... I don't know.
Well, the only thing I could think of... all that content is free up there, and people aren't paying... How are you guys going to make your money when you post your videos and your creative pieces up there? The only thing I could think of is make teaser videos, like movie trailers. Draw your audience in, and don't give all of it away. Make them pay for the full movie.
You want like a pay site then?
Something. You got to make money. How else are you going to make money? I don't know. I think that this 21st century internet age needs to figure this out, how to make money.
Yeah.
The music industry has been in total turmoil, upside down, flux. They can't figure out how to make money because everybody is just
stealing
the music. It's free. They've digitized it, and now it's just out there.
They have the same problem in the movie industry, too.
Well, this is what the guy's saying.
Well, no, he's talking about...
Well, he's talking about YouTube. It's the same thing.
Well,
videos.
It's a little different, but okay. But okay. I just feel like if you're really passionate about it, you got to create it. You got to get it out there, and hopefully it gets picked up by somebody, maybe on a bigger website where they can pay you. So I had a friend who did some writing, and he got his pieces picked up on bigger websites where they then posted it. And he made a little bit of money, but it wasn't like...
Well, I think the whole industry itself has to figure out how to make money on this. I know in the business world, content was free early on, but the businessmen have decided to just give very limited amount of real information away for free, just enough to draw you in. And then if you want to know the rest, like LexisNexis, some of you might have heard that, that's legal research, you have to pay for it. There's all sorts of
Bloomberg,
business...
All these
yeah,
people.
There's all sorts of business sites that just allow you very, very limited free content, and if you want to know deeper and more info, you're going to have to pay. So you creative people out there need to, I don't know, come up with some sort of industry standard.
You got to pull your resources and create a giant website where you have actual quality content that people are interested in finding, and then they'll pay for it, or you're going to have to start advertising to get your stuff out there.
I believe the better the quality and the content, the more likely you are to succeed.
Of course.
But there's a lot of junk out there. We know
that.
There
always is. That's what's on
YouTube. There's
a lot
of junk out there, and you have to make your product a little more desirable than the rest of the guys. But I do think as an industry-wide, just as the music industry is trying, they're working from all sorts of companies, all the big companies, the record labels and all the producers, and everybody working collectively because they have to figure out that works across the board. And I think that the same thing has to be with these video guys and these writers and all these film people. So it doesn't so maybe they have a chance of getting to work together. I want to thank you for your submission. We have three more cards for next week. Submit your stories. Andrew's going to read the three new cards for next week. They're interesting cards.
All right. We got a person with excellent sense of smell, a television addict, and Can't get down from the roof.
Boy, the television addict is running in again.
Apparently. We
Mr. Milk could have used that for his week.
I just want to let Mr. Milk know that he didn't have to write the story. He could have just sent us a question, and we could have answered the question.
No, we wanted the story.
Of course we liked the story. It was a good story.
A creative counselor.
I enjoyed
it. And he created
a beautiful... Of course, he's a creative guy, apparently,
yeah,
and I appreciate
right.
him being creative. I would have just asked a question. I'm not nearly
but
as creative.
But that's not the creative accountant segment.
Okay.
See, that's the difference between somebody who listens and somebody who just fluffs through. Okay, so we have a little bit of information. I have a newsletter that might be of interest to some people. There's some new rules going through this year that may be applicable to people who are listeners, such as... I saw one here about... Oh, yeah, here it is. About waiters. A new IRS campaign to collect unpaid FICA tax on tips is in the works.
What's FICA tax?
FICA is Social Security Medicare okay. tax. IRS is sending out bills to employers for their share of FICA tax on unreported tips using data collected from this form here, which employees use to report tip income that they didn't disclose to their employers. IRS will send letters to these firms telling them how much they owe and instructing them to include that amount with their next scheduled payroll tax deposit. So it looks like they're coming after the restaurateurs.
So how would the IRS find out about these people?
Well, that's very interesting. According to this article, there are waiters or waitresses who are reporting their tips to the government but not reporting them to their employer.
In excess of what they are getting on their W-2.
Does it make any sense?
There are some good people out there, apparently. They are still out there, and they are trying to not scam the government.
So,
thank you for doing that. Support the government.
Restaurateurs do have to be concerned about the audit. Listen, let me just tell you something. As a professional accountant, audits are way up, and they're coming after everybody and anybody, and they're going to get you for all sorts of taxes.
How could the restaurateur even protect themselves if the people aren't telling the restaurateur that they are collecting this tip?
Don't know the answer to that, but I do know that the IRS does like restaurants to come after for two things. Sales tax is the famous one, but then tips, unreported tips.
So then this person didn't actually pay all the tax on their tips either?
According to this, they reported, I know where they're talking about. You can report on your own return tips not reported to your employer. And some people who, some waiters and waitresses only get a very small W-2, and then it looks ridiculous that they only made like $4,000 for the year.
Oh,
so
I
they
gotcha.
Report additional tips on their tax return. That's where this is coming from. And so when they put that on their tax return, they're coming after the restaurateurs to say, hey, your employee said they made an extra $10,000. You had to pay the FICA tax.
So the restaurateurs need to be above board and reporting their wages and
they
tips from their employees.
Everybody's
like got to
report better tips or the IRS is coming after you.
Gotcha.
So, Andrew, let's just read the three lines for next week for the creative accountant segment, and we're finishing up.
Here we go. Yet again, we have person with excellent sense of smell, a television addict, and can't get down from the roof.
Okay. Submit your stories to us, your questions, your comments. We look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.